covered feet. Guide me with counsel sweet, purer in heart. Help me to be purer in heart, O God. Help me to be. Teach me to do thy will most lovingly. Be thou my friend and guide. Let me with thee abide. Purer in heart, help me to be. Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. That I thy holy face one day may see. Keep me from secret sin. Reign thou my soul within. Purer in heart, help me to be.
Amen. We are seeking to be purer in heart. And that is our theme this morning for our lesson in the Beatitudes, is to be pure in heart. We want to welcome our guests. We're glad you're here. We're thankful that you're here. Please stick around afterward. We'd love to come by and say hi, get to know you a little bit better. I hope that your daily reading went well this week. We're almost done with Matthew, and so I hope that went well. And let us know if there's anything we can do to help you to go through that reading each week. Well, it was May of 2019, and a gentleman named Nate Roman, he's 44 years old at the time. He's from Marlborough, Massachusetts, and he arrived home, and he noticed immediately that something wasn't quite right. And so after looking around his house a little bit, he walked around, he looked around his house, he called the police. Well, what was wrong? His house was too clean. He said, you could smell the cleaning products. He told these reporters, the house was spotless and nothing was missing. Nothing was stolen that he could tell. My son's room has never looked better, he said. I could relate to that. The police were just as dumbfounded as Roman was. Their theory was that there's a professional cleaning crew, a cleaning service, that went to the wrong address. And they got in through an unlocked back door or some other way. And that would explain the little toilet paper origami roses that Roman found in his bathroom. He admitted that this experience was unsettling. But he was so impressed with the work that he wanted to know how much those intruders would charge to come and do it again. So far, the authorities have no leads in this case and no suspects to question. Roman added, there's a chance that they'll be back tomorrow. They didn't clean the kitchen, which was a little disappointing. Well, in this case, someone likely had good intentions to clean a home, but got the wrong one. It could be they didn't clean the kitchen because they realized they were at the wrong address. Their hearts were in the right place, but they made a mistake and they cleaned the wrong house. And this makes me think of our beatitude this morning that we're going to read from Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. By the way, if anyone wants to ever make this mistake at our house, we will leave the back door unlocked. Let's read Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 together this morning. Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." As Jesus continues to preach his sermon, his famous sermon, these, different Beatitudes that he is speaking about, he spells out different virtues of what makes a disciple close to God's intention for mankind and how we can be blessed by God. This Beatitude in particular is a special one. You know, using the last Beatitude that we read about as a springboard, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy," we begin to see Jesus telling the hearers what they need to be doing in a right relationship with God. Receiving mercy from God is the beginning step that a disciple needs here on earth. We need that mercy. We need that in our lives. And now we hear that the pure in heart shall see God. This beatitude actually has roots in the song that David wrote that we actually read this morning in Psalm chapter 24. Let's read it again. Let's look at what David writes in his 24th Psalm. He says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob." And then we see the word Selah. That is a musical term that David uses for us to pause and to contemplate what he has just read. "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. David writes this song reminding people that the earth, the world, and everything and everyone in it are God's. He created this world. It is his. His question then comes in the form of, who can ascend to God? Who can stand in his holy place? Well, the answer that he gives is, he who has clean hands, a pure heart, the one who doesn't lift up his soul to the false, does not swear to deceitful things, to deceitful living, and he will receive this blessing. This encapsulates the heart of Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, this beatitude that we're reading this morning. The earth is God's, and only those who have clean hands, a pure heart, those people that live in the truth, they are the only ones that can stand before God in his holy place. And if we think about that, if we think to those in Scripture who were able to do this, who do you think of? I thought of several, couple that I wanted to point out. One is David. Before David was even made king, he was called a man after God's own heart. His desire was to please God, to worship him and serve him, to praise God in everything, and to know that God would protect and guide his people. Even in the midst of scary times like battling Philistines, David was this man. Even knowing the mistakes and the sins of David's life later, we would see that David was a man who desired to please God. His heart was God's. That's why when we are looking for this future king, the Lord said in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." How often do we judge people based on their appearance rather than who they are on the inside? God looks at the heart. Are our hearts pure? Also said of David a little bit later in the same chapter, he says, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him. David had a heart for God, right? And God rewarded this. But this isn't really the story I want to dwell on this morning. This isn't really the parallel with our beatitude that I want to talk about this morning. Though David does have some of the qualities spoken of in this beatitude. And he wrote the Psalm 24 that we referenced earlier. Well, how about Elijah? Elijah saw these false teachers, these false prophets of Baal, and many other false gods. He prophesied and confronted King Ahab, who had adopted many other idols and false gods. Elijah was so pure in heart that he was seen as the purest that he could speak to God on a mountain. He heard the voice of God in a whisper, and then he had to wrap his head, his face, with his cloak, because even in Elijah's purity, he could not face God. Not yet. But Elijah also didn't see death. He was taken up to God in fiery chariots and then got to see God's face. But Elijah isn't really who I want to focus on either this morning. No. David and Elijah definitely were pure in heart. And they would see God. And there were others that we could parallel this morning. But who I really want us to look at is Moses. Moses was a man who had a pure heart. When we read of Moses' life, we see someone who was favored by God in his service to the Lord. I especially want us to see that Moses mirrors not just this teaching in Matthew 5:8 or in Psalm 24, but also factors in the life of Elijah and David and even Jesus. After Moses delivers the Israelites out of Egypt, he's given opportunities to show the power of God as the people traveled, and then when God delivers the commandments of the law to them. After the people forget God's leading, and they forge idols from their gold jewelry, and they want to continue this habitual practice of thinking back to the gods of Egypt, their time in Egypt that they had, Moses intercedes for his people. And he met with God in person. Give me just a second here. Let's read from Exodus 33, starting verse 18. And we'll read through verse 23 here. Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." I've got a tickle in my throat. Moses meets with God. He actually has a meeting with him. But God tells him, he says, "You cannot see my face." But we do see that Moses does see God's glory, that he'll be able to see his back as he passes by. That must have been an amazing sight and an amazing and awesome feeling to see God. We know that every time Moses met with God in person, God's glory was so powerful that his skin would glow and shine from being in God's presence. If we turn over to Exodus 34, starting in verse 29, let's read this. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. Moses' skin would glow, it would shine when he would come out, when he would speak to the people and tell them what he had talked with God about. God's glory and his presence was so powerful that Moses had to veil his face because the power of his skin shining was even too much for the people to experience. Imagine being in Moses' presence with a shining face like that, that it was just too much for them. And then think about what it must have been like to actually be in God's presence, to be Moses and experience that firsthand. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Moses saw God. Well, what about us? Jesus says that all the pure in heart will see God. Have you ever seen God? We can take this metaphorically and we can say, oh yes, I have seen God in the world around me, the way that nature is so magnificent and creatively designed by God. Or, oh yes, when I see an innocent child, I see the heart of God in that child. I have seen God. Or we could even say, yes, this person that I know in the faith who has lived a long life and gives wisdom and shows the heart of God, I see God in this person. We could take it that way, right? But Jesus is talking about seeing God. In our pure hearts, we are seeing the essence of God, who he is, what he wants for us, the intention of his original creation. How do we become this pure in heart? Who are the pure in heart? How do we know someone is pure in heart? Well, I came up with a few ways for us to examine this truth. And so if you'll follow along with me here. The first, the pure in heart think and speak purely. People who are pure in heart have found that deep within them, in every aspect of their lives, they seek to please God first. In their speech, in their minds, in the way they treat people, it's all from the purest of motives. Jesus would tell us about this. He would speak about this later in Matthew's gospel. He was casting out a demon out of a blind mute, and the Pharisees accused him of being Satan. Only Satan could cast out his own demons. Well, Jesus responded to that. Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 33, he said, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned." And then he would later say in chapter 15, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this defiles a person, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander." We speak out of our mouths what our hearts are filled with. That's what Jesus is telling them. He was telling that to the Pharisees. He told that to his disciples. If we are filled with the Spirit, we will speak as God speaks, from the Spirit. Being pure in heart, we will speak and think purely. This is why Moses was so angry with Aaron and the Israelites when they had made those idols of gold, while he was literally speaking to God on Sinai. This is why his anger caused him so much grief that he broke those tablets with the commandments on them. How can God's people follow these laws and commands if they won't even wait for me to come down from God to receive them? Well, what about us? If we are consumed with the world, we will speak like the world. What do we watch on television? What do we listen to on our Spotify accounts? What do we read? Are we allowing friends and family to influence our thinking or our speech? Do we allow social media to influence us to buy certain products or to act a particular way? Out of our hearts will come the level of purity that we have inside, whether that be just a little bit or whether it overflows from the Spirit. Well, second, the pure in heart are viewed personally. Well, what do I mean by that? If we are pure in heart, people will know. They will see a difference in the kind of person that you are. It will show in your actions. Are you a service-minded person who seeks the needs of others and acts upon that? It can go to what you do with your time. Is your time spent on bettering yourself by reading good things and growing from what you read? How do you prioritize your time? Do the things of God come first, or does God only get your leftovers, what's left of your time? Someone who is pure in heart, they are seen by their actions. Am I prioritizing my Bible reading and my worship over my vacation time and sports that I like to watch? Are vacations and sports bad? No. But do they come before God? There's more in this, but it would take me some time to flesh this out. Maybe we'll hear more about this part in a future lesson from the Sermon on the Mount. But my point is, when we are pure in heart, people see a personal difference in the kind of person that we are. We are seen, viewed personally. Not just in our speech and our thoughts, but in our actions. Do the people around you know that you love Jesus? Do you talk about him with your coworkers, with neighbors, with others who don't know you very well? It becomes very personal. It was so personal to Moses that he shined like God. People knew that Moses was in God's presence. They knew. We also should shine like God in who we are to the extent that people know that person has been in the presence of God. It is like similarly what John wrote in his first letter, 1 John chapter 3, when he said, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Finally, the pure in heart shall see God. Adam, from the very beginning, saw God in the garden. As we said, Elijah saw God. Moses saw God. The pure in heart shall see God. People think of this as just some future promise. But Jesus didn't say that. I love what Jesus said about himself in John's gospel, when he said, well, Philip actually said first to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. But Jesus replied, he said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus said, if you've seen him, you've seen God. Because Jesus was God in the flesh, God with us, Emmanuel. The pure in heart, they see the ways that God is working around them every day. People who are pure in heart are focused on seeing the good in creation and in God's masterpiece. The pure in heart are innocent and can see the world around them the way that God intended it to be. The pure in heart see others the way God does, his children, and have compassion and empathy for them. Have you seen the power of God? It's time for some self-examination. Are you pure in heart? Are you living out in the world the way that God wants you to live and being the kind of person who shines the glory of God out there? Or do we hide behind rocks and in caves and never come out unless it's convenient to us? Our challenge this morning is to create some time for God. Create a daily calendar for this week. Maybe your family sits together and you prioritize some time that you will spend it with God. Maybe it's a family devotional, singing together, reading your Bible together, reading another inspirational book, and then talking about what God has done for you in your life each day. Pray about that together. If it's just you by yourself, let me encourage you to turn the TV off and make some time to talk with God every day. Maybe set a time with a friend. If you're by yourself, call a friend up and say, hey, I want you to come over to my house and study God's word with me today. Or maybe you set a time for later in the week. Let's talk about what is God doing in your life. Get creative and then shine that glory out into the world this week. If you've seen God, you will shine. Moses wasn't able to see God face to face at that time. He couldn't have handled it. But he shined from just being in the presence of God in his glory. But guess what? He has seen God's face now. And we will all get to see God's face. Revelation 22, starting in verse 3, no longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face. I want you to see God every day. But I also want you to see God face to face with me. I want you to join me in that. If you need Jesus today, we can baptize you today. And God will give you a new life with a new view, a new outlook. And you would be truly pure in heart, washing away your sins. Or if you just need prayer this morning, we want to do that with you as well. We'll have an elder come down and stand down here. I'll be down here. Come forward. We will pray with you. Whatever your need is, though, let's stand and sing. Come while we stand and sing.